Well, hey, if you've been around here for any length of time and you've been tracking with us since September, hopefully by this point you're beginning to become a little bit more familiar with our three priority areas, the three things we believe God is calling us as a church body to pay special attention to in this season of our life together. Those three are prayer engagement, Holy Spirit empowerment, and difference-making faith. And if you were here last week, you'll remember that Jeremy Walker did a great job in sharing and prompting us to think about the questions that God is asking us. You'll remember he made this statement. He said, questions determine direction. And we saw how this is true all over Scripture, and it's quite true of our own lives as well. This journey of attending to God's all around his presence, of making ourselves available to what he's doing in and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit, and engaging in kingdom come moments in our world, this is all so heavily predicated on our listening to the voice of God, paying attention to his prompts, and engaging in the questions he's asking. Today, as a really practical way of sort of maybe trying to drive some of that home and processing those ideas, I want you to hear a story of someone in our congregation who has really lived exactly that, paying attention to the voice of God and then deciding to be obedient to what God was nudging him towards. And my hope is that by hearing the story, you'll be encouraged that God wants to do the exact same thing in your own life about things that he's calling you too. And so I want to invite Rob Lepp to come on up and share. And I know Rob's got a water bottle, so I'll make sure. There we go. Something like that. I need to work out a little bit more. So we'll do this. And again, Rob, as I mentioned, just so there's a line down the middle. This is what my kids do at the dinner table. There's a line. And if your elbow goes across it, I'm allowed to whack you. Mom and Dad aren't usually happy when that happens, but it still happens. So Rob, we had this. Well, first of all, I should say Rob is actually part of our council team. So if you're not aware of who's on council, or if you ever wonder that, here's one of the guys right here. So all your tough questions, make sure you find him after the service. He'll be happy to answer all of them and solve all the problems you have with South Abbotsford Church. It's good. Thanks. And Rob is also our treasurer. So if it's finance related, don't hold those back. Rob will also help you through those. So is that a good enough setup, Rob?
Yeah, great.
Okay, I think we're done here. Yeah. Rob had phoned me back in the fall. I had been off on one of my study days and have a spot over in Mission that I usually hang out in. And I'm kind of around the mountain, so I don't have good cell reception. But every once in a while, I can kind of get close to a Wi-Fi spot there. Get better Wi-Fi than cell Wi-Fi than cell reception. And so I got an email from Kelly in the office saying, Rob Lepp's trying to get a hold of you, and I think he really wants to talk to you. So I said, okay, I'll call him on my way back. So when I was driving home and finally kind of got into cell phone range, I gave you a buzz, and we talked probably the rest of my trip. It was about a 20-minute conversation, I think. That's what my phone said anyways. And it was just a really encouraging time of you hearing you tell this story that you're going to share today. And I just thought, as I was reflecting on that, I thought, boy, that really, what you shared, really in a lot of ways embodied what I think we as a leadership team feel like God's calling us to live out as a church family. So I thought, what better way to do that than to actually just let people hear a story of what this could look like, how it looked like for you, and see if that would encourage others in their own life and their own walk. So I know kind of at the center of the story is this day. There's this Wednesday that kind of happens, but there's a lot that leads up to getting you to that Wednesday. So why don't you kind of back the story up and start from the beginning and just share what God's been doing?
Well, I'll get back to the phone call that I had with you on, I think it was a Thursday, but we'll get to that. It's a story about my good friend George, but before we kind of introduce you to George and who he is, the story really begins back in spring of last year. I needed a renewal in my heart, and there was a couple of events that happened in my life that kind of stopped me in my tracks, and it was like, okay, Rob, I want to be better than this. And that began a process of really a journey of falling in love again with my Heavenly Father. And I brought a few people beside me to help with that. Norm and Lori were right beside me, and Steve Clausen from the Mark Center. And I met a number of times with Steve for just an hour session a number of times. And this was kind of getting into late spring, early summer, and my season with farming and the market really ramps up come May for sure. And pardon me. Steve and me came to, I believe it was our last session, and he just challenged me. He said, "Rob, in your busyness and you're on the road a lot, I pray, and you need to just continue to pray that the Lord would give you open eyes and open ears to just see the wonders that are out there and the opportunities." And I took that, and it was just part of this new renewal that I was going through. And so we kind of left that. I started getting busy. I kept bringing that exact request to the Lord, and the request kind of shifted to where, with this new renewal, I said, "Lord, I want to see something amazing. I want a wow. I want a God wow moment." So I kept praying that, and I'll just bring George into the story here right now. George, last year he was 72 years old, got divorced in the mid 80s from his wife. Has two children, a son and a daughter, and he has been in the fruit and vegetable business for 30 plus years. Has a 5-ton reefer truck that he peddles fruit and vegetables all through the Okanagan Valley, down here a little bit, full loads of blueberries back up there into the valley. That's kind of his May to October as well. And that's what he does. Based out of Osuyas, but really his home is Cranbrook. So in the last 10 years, I have developed a relationship with him. He picks stuff up from us. I bring stuff up to the Okanagan sometimes for him to distribute. We have similar customers in the Okanagan Valley. He would be very well known in the Okanagan Valley. When he's moving cherries, he's called Cherry George. When he's moving asparagus, he's Asparagus George. I mean, that's just, and everyone knows him like that. So we would meet, we would wave, blink headlights at each other as we passed, met each other at some of the customers, dialogued a little bit. It got into June, July, and he was not doing very well. Finally stopped driving, needed to get some medical attention, and wouldn't you know it, he's got cancer. So the driving stopped, and now he needed to deal with that. So lost kind of a weekly wave or whatever with him for a while, and knew he was dealing with this. Did not know the extent of where the cancer all was. But it was about August, in September. It was in September. And I was on one of my regular trips, and it was on a Thursday. And I was at one of the customers that I have in the Okanagan, and the lady said, "Rob, have you heard about George?" And I said, "Well, I know he's got cancer." And she said, "Oh, he had surgery a couple of days ago, and they opened him up and closed him up." At that very moment, there was something inside me that just said, "You got to go see him. You got to make a point of seeing him." And, excuse me, I've had a bad cough, so I got to try do this once in a while. So that was Thursday, and the rest of that day, Friday, Saturday, just kept going through my head, and came to church on that Sunday. It was the last Sunday of September, and Matt has this great message, and this challenge at the end was to take some risk, to just step out and take some risk. And it was like, oh, there we go. You kind of put me over the top, right? That was what I needed. And after the service, you kind of hear that voice on Thursday, and here Sunday, it's take the risk. And I remember, the bulletins have the little writing part, and I'm sitting in the pew, and Charlotte just starts writing away. She's writing, and I'm just sort of relaxed and arm on the bench. And she kind of looks over at me, and I just quietly said, "I've got it." And after the service, I sought out Norm and Lori. And even though there's those two significant moments that you know what the right thing to do is, there's still that little voice that says, "Really, you? Are you adequate for this? Is it you really think you're ready for this?" And I shared Thursday with Norm and Lori here, and I just said, I just keep having this little doubt whether I'm adequate. And they said to me, "Rob, it's not about being adequate, it's just about being available." And I sort of took that word and I said, "Yes. That is, I'm going to keep driving that into my head. I'm available." So I wasn't going to leave this too long because, funny things can happen in a person's head. So Monday morning, I'm going to give George a call, and I'm thinking he's in Cranbrook, and phone his number, he answers, and we have a little conversation, and I end up saying, "Hey, George, I'm going to be in Cranbrook on Wednesday and would love to come and see you." And he answers me back by saying, "I'm not in Cranbrook. I'm in the Foothills Hospital in Calgary." So it was like, I just paused for a second or two and thought, "Oh, let's try this again." And I said, "Hey, George, I'm going to be in Calgary on Wednesday. I'd like to come and see you." And he didn't really pick up on that. He said, "Oh, Rob, you don't have to do that." I said, No. I want to do this." And so the end of the conversation, he said, "I'll have my daughter, Brianne, I'll tell her that you're coming, and she'll contact you and let you know, what ward I'm in and where I am." And I thought, great. So didn't hear anything Monday, didn't hear anything Tuesday. I kept texting, phoning, nothing got connected. And I just said, "Lord, I'm going. I'm just going." So took an early flight, got into Calgary early, rented a car, drove to the Foothills Hospital, found that, so I knew where I was at. There was a Starbucks. I thought, why don't I get a bite to eat and just sort of try here again a little bit to find out where I should go. And not really anything happening. And all of a sudden, I get a text message. And it's Brianne, his daughter, on George's phone, texting me back saying, "Who are you and what do you want?" So I'm thinking, okay, so George obviously didn't have a discussion with her. And I texted back, "I'm Rob, I'm a good friend of George, I'm from Abbotsford. I guess you didn't get the message that I was coming on Wednesday, but I'm here, where do I go?" type of thing. No response. So again, I'm kind of thinking, what's going on here? So I did not know this at the time, but Brianne is an executive for WestJet, and she had all day of meetings lined up. So she was just briefly in George's hospital room in the morning, and she was gone for the rest of the day. So no response. So I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm here. I'm available. I'm going in," and drove around the hospital. Saw the cancer unit. I thought, well, that's a good place to start. So they had receptionist pointed me to the courtesy phone, and I phoned, and operator answered, and she said, "Who are you? Who do you want to see?" I said, "George Sufenick," and she said, "Are you family?" I said, "No, I'm not." She says, "Okay, just hold, please." Now I'm thinking, oh boy, now he's going to be in a restricted area, so let's see what happens with this. So again, I just called out to the Lord. I said, "I'm here, Lord. I've put this whole day in your hands, and I'm gonna count on you to make this thing happen." And operator came back on, passed me to another one. I told them the same thing on hold. Finally, she came back and told me the room number and the ward, and I made my way to George's room. He was very happy to see me. He had this private room, sixth floor, sun was shining in. It was just a great setting, very quickly into the conversation, he asked. He said, "So, Rob, do you have some business in Calgary?" I said, "No, I don't, George. I came to see you." And I said, "I want to tell you how this kind of came about." And I told him about the previous week, me hearing about his surgery. And I said, "I don't know if you know that I'm a believer," but I said, "You know, what goes along with that is the Holy Spirit lives inside of me." And I said, there was no doubt that the Holy Spirit prompted me to say, go see George. And I said, I went to church, and you know, our pastor had this great message of encouraging me to do that as well. And I said, "I'm here to spend the day with you and visit and talk." And I said, I'm gonna share what it means to be ready for heaven, and I don't know exactly all the words. There was words that came out of my mouth that I only know who they came from. So, it was just a very, the atmosphere was just very warm and receiving, and we spent the day together. Visiting about a lot of things. There was numerous times that the conversation led to another opportunity. And then I asked him early afternoon, I said, "George, I mean, you know, you're 72. What, tell me about your life." And he went on to talk about his life. And, you know, sometimes we just need to step back and just listen. And of the crazy things that he did, excuse me, it got pretty loud with laughter at times. I know I got up and went and shut the door because we were laughing at times, very loud. He also shared that 5 years earlier, his son took his own life, and it's just like, okay, isn't that interesting? The things that you hear. And I just asked how he coped with something like that. And you know, there was another opportunity. It was getting to be about 2:30, quarter to 3. And I knew that about 4:30, if I was going to catch the flight that I had booked, about 4:30 or so, quarter to 5, I'd have to be on my way back to the airport. And I just remember, just speaking inside of me, "Lord, I need another opportunity. I want one more opportunity here." And he kept talking about his life and his good friend, Jimmy. And Jimmy had passed away, and it just, it happened so smoothly, actually, and quite quickly, where he said, you know, he kind of at times was talking about his life possibly coming to an end shortly as well. So he just said a comment like, well, maybe I'll see Jimmy again. And I just sort of picked up on that and said, you sound like, you know, Jimmy's waiting for you. Are you referring to heaven? And he said, well, maybe. And that conversation just kind of flowed into really the Holy Spirit, you know, speaking through me. And I just shared that what a Christian walk is all about and what eternity, you know, is going to be. And you know, we're here for a short time on this earth, but there's an eternity. And I said, George, I know I'm going to be in heaven. Am I going to meet you there? And he said, I don't know. I said, do you want to be there? Is that where you want to be? He said, yeah. And I said, okay. I said, why don't we pray? And he said, I don't know how to pray. I said, you don't need to know how to pray. I said, you need to recognize that what Jesus has done. And I said, I'll pray. And I said, I'll pray. You want to follow along with me? And he said, yeah. So we went through a prayer. And at the end, his bed was tilted back a bit, and we said amen, and he was just looking up, and I'll never forget this, because he said quietly three times, this is good, this is good, this is good. And I said, well, to myself, I asked for a wow, God wow moment. I've just got it. And I you know, he kind of tipped his head up, and I just looked at him, and I just said, George, you're a child of the King. You're a child of the King. And that kind of ended. You know, we were very close to me needing to leave, and Brianne never came back. I had not met her on that day. And I said my goodbyes. I told him that Charlotte and me had planned a vacation in the first few days of November, but I said I would try to connect with him yet before we left. And I prayed with him and walked out of the hospital. I actually don't know if I was actually walking on concrete or just floating, but anyway, I did make it back to the car.
Yeah. Yeah, WestJet probably didn't use any fuel on the way home. Mm-hmm. It just kind of kept them.
So, you know, the next few weeks was an opportunity to connect with Brianne, his daughter. And I mean, she was the only caregiver in that family. That's all he had. I mean, besides the medical staff, that's all he had was, as far as support, that was close by. And so it was very good how even that relationship has, how that developed in the next few weeks. And we got to near the end of September, and we were going to leave, I think, on the 31st. And so I made contact with her, and I said I'd like to come see George again. And by that time they had moved him to Cranbrook Hospital. So I made some plans. It was a Saturday to come out there. Brianne, the first time I met her was that she came in and picked me up at the airport, and we had quite an emotional visit from the airport to the hospital. She was struggling, And she said, Rob, Dad has really deteriorated a lot in 3 weeks. So, you know, don't be shocked what you see. And so I spent the day with Brianne and George. Prayed with them a number of times. There was one incident in particular. We were huddled, her on one side of his bed and me on the other, and Brianne and George were dialoguing a bit, and she just said to her dad, she said, "Dad, is there anything you'd like to say, or what are you thinking?" He said, "I want Rob to pray the rites." I thought, "Oh boy!" First of all, what does that all mean? So you know, just
you hadn't brought your book with you.
I don't know which book that is exactly, but anyway, I did not bring the book. Yeah. So I said, "What?" Or pardon me. And he said it again, and I looked at him and I said, "Well, George, I don't know if I can do that, but what I can tell you is that you are completely right with your Heavenly Father. That I know. So, you know, I would have no problem praying with you." And he said, "Oh yes, please do." And you know, holding hands with Brianne and George and praying, it was a very emotional moment, and you know, Brianne was really taken back by some of the stuff that was said there, so anyway, that day needed to come to an end and get back home Actually, I missed the Thursday that I phoned you. But anyway, I ended up going to George's bedside and getting pretty close to him. And I said, "Well, George, you know that we're going away on a vacation a little bit." And I said, "I'm going to see you again. And it's either going to be when I return from vacation or it's going to be in heaven." So I said, "I'm actually looking forward to our next meeting, whichever way it is." And I told him I loved him. I left the room. Brianne ended up taking me back on the curbside there where she was dropping me off. I asked if I could pray with her. She said, "Sure, absolutely." And I prayed with her. We got out of the vehicle. I embraced her. She just hung on. She just hung on. And she was just so broken. And you know, I said my goodbyes. And we have continued to have contact with her. A few days later, Charlotte and me did leave. And it was that next week on a Wednesday. Wednesday morning, we were having a coffee in a Starbucks, and I just texted Brianne. I said, "Hey, Brianne, how is your dad doing, and how's George doing, and did the rest of the weekend and these first few days go okay?" And she texted me back. She said, "Well, Rob, you must have sensed something because he passed away this morning." So there we were, Charlotte and me, in Starbucks. A sobbing mess. I don't know what the people around us thought was going on in our lives, but so that's kind of where the George story ends. He's in heaven, and I have continued to have connection with Brianne, with her job. There's a very good chance that she will be out in the Abbotsford or the west coast here, and has said that we're going to hook up. And so, I don't know where the story is going to I don't think there's an end to this story yet.
Right. There could be another chapter yet to write.
I think there is going to be another chapter, quite honestly. So, yeah, that's... Yeah.
Well, thanks, Rob. You've alluded to it a couple times in sort of how you share the story, but I'd love to just want to circle back just to be really clear. Like, if people are sitting out there, they're listening, hey, it's a great story, they're, you know, we're excited for what God has done, but, like, you know, that's you, Rob. Like, I mean, you probably are, like, you've got all these super gifts for evangelism and all that kind of stuff, and so that's, you could do that, but, you know, the rest of us couldn't. I mean, what would you say to that?
Well, I have had in my life, my Christian journey, a few opportunities, but this seemed to be a whole new renewal, a whole new being intentional. I hope that the story is an encouragement, and it could be in a number of ways. I don't know, you know, there's probably a number of you out there that are maybe at the stage I was back in spring where you just have to fall in love again with your Heavenly Father. And that would be a great thing. From my experience, that was unbelievable. Just that newness again, that everything was fresh. And then you might be at a point where, you know, you might be thinking, you know, am I adequate enough or whatever? And we need to tell ourselves, and we need to say that in our head, that just I'm available. And I think, wow, if that would happen in our church body, what would be the story next week? What would be the story a month from now or a year from now? Just having that rhythm. And it would be very, very exciting. Yeah. So, it was out of my wheelhouse in a big way. But yeah, I really saw the Lord grab a hold of me, and I'm glad He did. I'm in love with Him. So,
I love that statement you made a couple times, right? It's not about being adequate; it's about being available. I remember when we were talking on the phone that Thursday, once or twice you would paused in the story and sort of like said, "Matt, that's not me. Like, that's not me." You really had the sense of like, "Yeah, this isn't because like I'm super good at this. It's just God was doing something, and I was just trying to be available." I think that's an important lesson.
Well, and the reason I called Matt was I think that was so, and I missed this earlier. That was so much part of kind of you giving the challenge and, you know, kind of pushed me, right? And I thought you needed to hear that because, you know, you're up here speaking, you know, week in and week out, and you gotta once in a while know that something sticks, right?
That's good.
Right?
Throw enough stuff out there,
You're throwing
stick.
Stuff out there all the time. Like, it's gotta. hopefully it grabs once in a while, doesn't
Quantity
it?
Quantity versus quality, is that
yeah,
what we're going
well,
for?
Whatever. Yeah.
No, that's great, Rob. And thank you for being willing to share. My hope is that becomes an encouragement to us to go, you know what? It's not just a Rob story. It's actually a God story. Just you happen to say yes, right? And so we are all in that position of being able to say yes when God comes along, and trust that God uses that to encourage us. And yeah, I'm excited to sort of see. You know, this was about George, but it's interesting. You know, you still have texts and stuff going back with Brianne. I mean that. We'll see what God's writing there. But again, it's not we leave that in His hands. You just keep saying yes and see where it goes. So thanks, Rob. Can we thank Rob for taking time to share today? I was thinking about Rob coming and sharing today, and the story that jumped to mind for me that from Scripture is the story of, remember the story of Moses and God calling Moses at the burning bush. And I just think there's just so much richness there for us to learn. If you're familiar with the story, you'll remember, you know, Moses is like 80 years old. And when God shows up to him, he's out shepherding somewhere out in the tulies, and God shows up at this burning bush. And he comes with sort of, he's got the wind up in the pitch that he wants to give to Moses. And the wind up is this. He says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry. And then the pitch to Moses is this: I will send you to Pharaoh
that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, I can pretty much guarantee you that it's not what this 80-year-old farmer was expecting to have happen that day when he was, you know, earlier when he was having his Fruit Loops eating breakfast in the morning. This was not an expected conversation with God. Now, the author of Exodus doesn't tell us whether or not the call resonates with Moses or what the internal dialogue going on in Moses' head and heart was, but I think by his somewhat resistant response, we can kind of piece it together a little bit. Moses in the story comes across certainly like a guy who is not interested in the assignment, far more than a guy who's itching to get back into the action. And really, it's probably what we should expect. By now, Moses has made a new life for himself, far away from his blood relatives, outside of Egypt. And he's been living this life now for 40 years. I think Moses is probably at the stage of life where he's just saying, like, I just want to be left alone. I hope no one bothers me. And sure, I mean, there was one day when those kind of challenges, you know, to change the world, he would have been ready to take on. It was 40 years earlier when he saw his fellow Israelites being treated harshly by Egyptians to the point where he even killed one of the Egyptian slave drivers. I mean, back then, he was ready to take matters into his own hands. Of course, his way of doing things didn't work out so well. But there's no doubt that if God had come with this exact same assignment 40 years earlier, Moses would have been all over it. You know, but that was then, and this is now. And he had a family, he had a stable income, he had a pretty predictable life without a whole lot of drama. He'd long given up on the idealism he had in his younger days. God's timing was not very good. It's about 40 years off. The picture I have in my mind, if there's any Star Wars fans out here, if you've seen the latest movie, you know, I think Moses is kind of like a Luke Skywalker. Back in the original three films, you know, way back in the 40s or whenever those were filmed, long time ago, you know, you watch those films, and Luke Skywalker's this energetic young Jedi. He's ready to take on all the evil in the galaxy and set things right. He's a man on a mission. And then if you've seen the latest movie, you know he turns out to be a grumpy old hermit who's found a remote planet to live on and wants nothing to do with galactic problems. Just leave me alone. Let me live out my days in peace. Let it be someone else's assignment. And it's not just that he's long given up on the idea. Moses is actually painfully aware that there's lots of logical reasons as to why God should go elsewhere. Age has given Moses a realistic perspective on his own shortcomings. You know, I think we often label Moses' response to God as just a bunch of lame excuses, but I actually think that he's giving God a pretty fair self-assessment of who he really is. As you read in the passage, you notice that as Moses kind of goes through and lists off all the reasons why not, God doesn't deny the truth of any of the shortcomings that Moses lists. There's no, don't be so hard on yourself, Moses. You're way better than you think. No, it's not there. You see, God's response to Moses' weaknesses isn't to say, they're actually not weaknesses, you're really good at those things. God's response is to say, in essence, I know, Moses, I know you better than you know yourself. But I'll be there. I'll step in where you come up short. And it just makes me wonder what the burning bush conversations that you have sound like. What's the dialogue like between you and God when he's nudging you towards something, when you're aware of God's question to you in life? You know, are you quick with the yes? Are you quick with the yeah, I'm all in? Or do you find yourself in Moses' shoes? You're just not sure if what God's come, the assignment God's come to you with, you're just not sure if that's you anymore. You can come up with the top three reasons very quickly why God would be better off tapping someone else on the shoulder. And, you know, the reality is you actually may not be a good candidate. You may be very right about that. But if the story of Moses' call has anything to tell us, I think it tells us that when God calls, God will also more than make up for what you lack. In fact, I have a sneaking suspicion that if God can experience joy to varying degrees like you and I could, he might actually get a little bit more delight out of using you when you're not a good candidate than when you are a good candidate. If you remember Paul in Corinthians, he talks about a weakness that he has that he's very aware of. And he wants God to fix it for him, take it away. But as he wrestles with God about that, God's response to him includes this phrase. Do you remember it? My power is made perfect in your weakness. I think there's something about, you know, human beings operating in our areas of strength where it can become a temptation for us to actually look to the accomplishments and our successes as being our own doing. Well, yeah, I got that done because I'm good at that. That was accomplished because that's my gift. On the other hand, when we succeed at something that really is an area of weakness or shortcoming in our lives, I think it becomes all the more evident, both to us and to those around us, there's something more going on. And those are the things that much more quickly point back to the God who is working in and through us to accomplish his plans and his purposes. I can't be sure of it, but I think God gets a little extra burst of joy in using your weakness to accomplish his purpose, like he did with Moses. So what's God asking you today? What's God asking you in this season of life? And what's the conversation that you're having with God right now? What keeps you negotiating? What keeps you wrestling? What stops you from just saying, yes, I'm in? Is it fear? Is it a sense of not being gifted enough? Is it worry that saying yes could upset the apple cart of your life? I mean, maybe your hesitation is that, you know, like Moses, you're pretty settled into how your life is right now. Maybe in a different season of life, you'd been up for some adventure in responding to the call of God, but you've grown comfortable right now with the rhythms and routines of your life, and you're not looking for something that might interrupt that. God, if you had come to me last year, or 10 years ago, or 40 years ago, I'd have been in, but right now, just want to leave well enough alone. Maybe your problem's actually the opposite of that. God, I'm not a good candidate for that right now. Maybe next year. Maybe in 10 years. God, come back to me when I'm retired, and then let's have this conversation. Here's the fact of the matter. The only thing that determines if you're the right candidate or not is if God's asking you the question. If he's asking you, you are the right person. Right now, regardless of the 50 reasons you could come up with why he should ask someone else. If he's asking you the question, you can be confident that he knows you better than you know yourself, and you can be confident he's going to cover every weakness. He will cover every gap. It's what he did with Moses. Essentially, it was the experience that Rob had with George. God was more than sufficient to cover any of the areas where Rob would say, that's not really me. That's not my strong suit. If God can do that with Moses, if God can do that with Rob, I promise you, he can and he wants to do that with you. So what is your next step? How would you finish that sentence? My next step is what? It may not be delivering a message from God to a powerful world leader. It may not be hopping on a flight to Calgary with WestJet on Wednesday. But I'm convinced every one of us has some kind of next step. God's not finished with any of us. Both in terms of what he wants to do in us, in terms of our own renewal, our own walk, and what he wants to do through us to make a difference in his world. What next step is God nudging you to take today? I can invite you to just pray with me, to enter a posture of prayer. And just in this moment of quiet and silence, can I invite you again just to enter dialogue directly with God? His Holy Spirit lives in you, speaks to you. As you've had a chance to hear Rob share his story today, is God nudging you about something? It's the Holy Spirit asking you a question. It's the Holy Spirit asking something of you. Take a moment and listen for that right now. And what are you going to respond with today? Are you going to list the reasons why not? Or will you have the courage to say, yeah, God, I'm in? So just even take this moment now in silence and say back to God what it is that's on your heart to say. How are you going to respond? God, thank you for choosing us. Lord, thank you that for whatever reason, because it seems to me it would just be simpler if you would just do it yourself, but thank you that you call us to be part of what you're doing in this world. Thank you for those places that you give us gifts by your Holy Spirit to be able to be a part of your ongoing work. God, thank you even more that when we come to the end of those things and we are beyond ourselves, that we have confidence that where you call, you will provide, and that we can expect to see you at work in ways that are beyond us. So God, my prayer today is that for us in this room, Lord, I pray that there would be a bunch more Rob moments of people even right now who just know that they know that they know this is what God's saying, and they've been willing to give you their yes, Lord. I pray that that's happening in this room this morning. And then, God, I want to pray for more George moments. God, I want to pray for more stories, for more events, for more moments when our obedience to you touches the life of someone else in a way that causes transformation, not just momentary transformation, but eternal change and transformation. God, we want to be a part of that. We pray for more Georges. Whose lives will be changed because we will choose to say yes. God, we love you. We're grateful to be your children. Thank you that we get to be on this journey together with you. May we listen well. May we attend to your presence well. May we be courageous to always, always say that we're in.